to speak tonight on the sufficiency of Christ. The word sufficiency is, of course, the condition or quality of being enough or sufficient. The sufficiency of Christ is stated and taught throughout the Word of God. It's in a variety of ways. Christ is sufficient in His person. That is, He's sufficient just because of who He is. Being the Almighty, He's self-sustaining, does not need anyone to sustain Him. Since He's self-sustaining, He, of course, is self-adequate. So He's sufficient just because of who He is. Many of His titles declare His sufficiency. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That means He's sufficient. He's the author and He's the finisher of our faith, which means He's sufficient. He's the blessed and only potentate, the bread of life, creator, the heir of all things, the I Am. All those titles declare this fact that Jesus Christ is sufficient. He's Emmanuel, God with us, which means, again, He's sufficient. The very name Jesus states His sufficiency, the fact that He's the King, King of kings, Lord of lords, King of ages. All declare His sufficiency. The fact that He is called life declares His sufficiency. The Lord of all, the Lord of glory. And on we could go with His titles that declare His sufficiency. So He is sufficient because of who He is. His titles declare His sufficiency, which is just another way of explaining who He is. Each of the recorded miracles of Christ are a declaration of His sufficiency. In His teachings, He declares His sufficiency. For example, in John 15, in verse 5, I am the vine. You are the branches. That's a declaration of His sufficiency. He that abideth me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, ye can do nothing. That declares the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. The sufficiency of Christ also is a cardinal truth that Paul sought to impress upon his readers. Many, many times Paul made statements that simply declared the sufficiency of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2, he said, I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's a declaration of the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. What he said in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, for we preach not ourselves but Christ Jesus the Lord, is also a declaration of the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Notice what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. His fear was that they'd be removed from Christ. Why? Why was that a fear? Because Christ was everything they needed. It's a declaration of His sufficiency. Ephesians chapter 1, we see we're chosen in Him. We see we're predestinated, we're accepted in Him. Ephesians 1 is a declaration of His sufficiency. What he said there in Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's a declaration of the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Colossians 3, verse 11, Christ is all. In other words, Christ is everything. That's pretty sufficient. We see also he spoke of the fullness of Christ many times. Paul spoke of the fullness of Christ in Ephesians 4 and verse 13, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ, the very topic, speaks of his sufficiency. Colossians 1 verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell. Again, declaring his sufficiency. Colossians 2 verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Christ is sufficient. Christ is more than enough. That's true in our salvation. That is true in everything. Jesus Christ is sufficient. Now this morning we looked at Matthew 14. We'd like to go back there. And we want to look at the sufficiency of Christ as it is revealed here in Matthew chapter 14. Again, this is a very eventful chapter containing four main events. We have, again, we brought this out this morning. We have the murder of John the Baptist, verses 1 through 12. We have the feeding of well over 5,000, verses 13 through 21. We see the apostles in a storm, verses 22 through 33. And we see Christ healing in verses 34 through 36. And in each of these events, the sufficiency of Christ is on display. And in these events, we can see how that we can live our lives in the reality of His sufficiency. It's one thing to say Jesus Christ is sufficient. It's another thing to live our lives in the reality of that sufficiency. So we want to notice four things about these four events. First of all, in each of these events, there is a great need set before us. In each event, we see a great need. In the first event, we see the imprisonment and the beheading of John the Baptist. We see that in verse 10. This, of course, was a tragedy. And in verse 12, his disciples came and took up the body, the headless body, and buried it, and went and told Jesus. So we see here in verse 12, the apostles buried the body of John the Baptist. As they did so, no doubt there was tremendous sorrow. There was great heartache. I'm sure under the circumstances of Herod with his reign, there was fear. There was probably a degree of confusion. And I'm quite sure that there was probably some anger as well. But it was a time of great need for these disciples. In the second event, verses 13 through 21, the feeding of over 5,000. Well over 5,000 people. We see 5,000 men and besides women and children. So we're probably talking 15,000 people easily. But this multitude of people had gathered around Christ and the apostles. And Christ laid a humanly impossible task upon the apostles. In verse 16, he said, give ye them to eat. That was their task. And that was humanly impossible for them to do. So they are brought face to face with a scarcity. They are brought face to face with a need. This was a time of need that was far, far beyond their means. It was an impossible task, humanly speaking. In the third event, verses 22 through 33, the apostles are stuck in a life-threatening storm. Verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst. We saw this morning, it was about 3.5 miles out of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. They're stuck. They are stuck in a great trial. This is an enormous difficulty, enormous hardship. They are stuck in this storm. This also was a time of great need. Their very lives were in peril. In the fourth event, in verses 34 through 36, we see that there was disease. In verse 35, we see they brought unto him all that were diseased. There was illness. Perhaps there were infections, and there was affliction, and there was disabilities. There were defects. There were plagues of various kinds. And again, what we have here is a picture of need. So in these four events, we see that mankind is needy. We see the neediness of mankind. And we are also reminded that there is a great variety of need among mankind. We read concerning man in Job 5 and verse 37, or verse 7, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Man is born unto trouble. In Job 14 and verse 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And you'll notice in Matthew chapter 14 that these events, and each event pictures a specific need, these events followed each other in rapid succession. Soon after the beheading of John the Baptist, soon after his burial by the apostles, there was this humanly impossible task laid upon the apostles, and they did not have sufficient means to meet that task. This was followed by them getting into a boat, getting halfway across the sea, and they find themselves stuck in a life-threatening storm. And then this is followed by a multitude of diseased people. It's not merely that we are needy. We are needy. But what we see here with this rapid succession is we are always needy. It is not just that there is a mere occasion of need. It is not that there are just mere occasions of trouble. They follow one upon another. There are people today who think in their minds, if I can just get past this problem, life will be fine. No, there'll be another problem. There'll be another trouble. There'll be another need. This is life. It is one need after another. So we see in these four events, we are needy. There are great needs. There are a variety of needs. Secondly, in each of these events, there is the insufficiency of man to meet these needs. At the close of the first event, we see the apostles at a grave. They have buried John the Baptist. We have all stood at the grave. And it is a time, it is always a time of insufficiency. It is always a time of inadequacy. What can you do? So again, it shows, we see these apostles standing at the grave, and it's a picture of the insufficiency of man. In the second event, with this massive multitude gathered, and it gets to be past supper time, the apostles say there in verse 15, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitudes away. That was their solution. It's also a declaration of their insufficiency. It's supper time. We can't feed these people. We're not sufficient. We don't have adequate means to do this. And upon saying that, Christ laid this humanly impossible task upon them. Give ye them to eat. Feed them. He's saying, don't send them away. You feed them. And then you hear the response of the apostles to this task that has been laid upon them. Verse 17, they say, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's a statement of insufficiency. They are saying, Lord, we're not adequate. We don't have adequate means to feed this people. And from John's account, if you keep a mark there in Matthew 14 and turn over to John chapter 6, we see they declare their insufficiency. John 6 and verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread. And they didn't have that much. That's 200 days of salary. 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. This was Philip's response to Christ's question. In verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And I believe that's when Matthew's account kicks in. Lord, send them away. It's past supper time. And the Lord asked that question, of course, to test Philip, verse 6. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. That's always the case. Jesus always knows what he'll do. But we see the apostles declared that they were insufficient for this task that was before him. They declare very plainly, we do not have adequate means for the task at hand. They were insufficient. In the third event, the apostles are caught in a storm. Again, a picture of human insufficiency. And from Mark's account in Mark 6, verse 48, they were toiling and rowing, but they weren't getting anywhere. They weren't making any headway. They're stuck. We see they were incapable of getting out of that storm. These were seasoned fishermen. They've been in storms before. But no matter what they did, they couldn't get out of this storm. They couldn't make any headway. Again, it's a picture of human strength and human skill, human know-how. It's not sufficient. It's not sufficient. In the fourth event, there's a disease. Again, another reminder of insufficiency. So we see in these four events, there's human need. There is human insufficiency for the need. These are two great truths that we must learn, that we must learn well. We have needs and we are insufficient. We have needs and we are inadequate. The psalmist declared 4 times, Psalm 40, verse 17, Psalm 70, verse 5, Psalm 86, verse 1, Psalm 109, verse 22, I am poor and needy. He is saying, I am not only needy, but I am poor or I am insufficient. I am poor and needy. A recognition of insufficiency. A recognition of need. Thirdly, in each of these events, we see the sufficiency or the ability of Jesus Christ. In the first event, The apostles are burdened with sorrow. And Mark tells us in his account, in Mark 6, verse 31, that Jesus said unto them, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." Jesus knew that they needed rest. And in verse 32, they departed into a desert place by ship privately with Jesus. And in John 6, in verse 3, "And Jesus went up into a mountain," there in that desert place, "and he sat with his disciples." What a wonderful word picture. He sat with his disciples. That's a beautiful picture. He sat with his disciples. They needed rest. John the Baptist has been beheaded. They have just buried him. They needed rest. So what did Jesus do? He takes them away into a private place, and he sat with his disciples. He provided them the rest that they needed. And that rest was obtained by some alone time with Jesus Christ. There is no better rest than alone time with Jesus Christ. But what we see there is the sufficiency of Christ. What gave them the rest was that Jesus sat there with his disciples. In the second event, after the apostles declared their insufficiency of their means, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, Christ directed their attention to his sufficiency. He said in verse 18, "Bring them," that is the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, "bring them hither to me." He's directing their attention away from the means and to him. It would do us good to get our attention off of the so-called means and get our attention focused upon him. "Bring them hither to me." And Jesus took the little bit that they had. And notice verses 19 through 21. "And he commanded the multitude to sit on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude." So you have 12 people distributing this food to this great multitude. "And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full." That's more than they began with. "And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children." 5 loaves and 2 fishes in their hands. That's all it was. But in the hands of Christ, it was enough to feed 5,000 men besides women and children. Again, showing us the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. You may be down to your last dollar. You bring that dollar to Christ, and I guarantee you, you have more than a dollar. It's more in his hand than it is yours. That's always true. It's always more in his hand than it is ours. We need to get our eyes upon him, the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. And may I say that the means of the miracle was not in the 5 loaves, it was not in the 2 fishes. The means of the miracle was in the multiplying power of Jesus Christ. And so it is today. That's why it's an effort in futility to try and figure out how the Lord's going to provide a need. You just watch. You'll be amazed. You'll never imagine what the Lord might do to provide our needs, material, spiritual, whatever. In the third event, Christ showed himself as all-sufficient, walking on the sea, and saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. That was Christ declaring his sufficiency. And we see that Peter, after he walked out on the water for a while, he began to sink. And Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, again displaying the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. What would have happened had Christ not stretched out his hand and caught Peter? He would have drowned. The sufficiency of Jesus Christ. And then when Christ and Peter returned to the boat, verse 32, the wind ceased. That was yet another manifestation of his sufficiency. And then we read in verse 34, and when they were gone over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret. So they have reached the other side. That shows the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. But we need to notice in John's account of this, there was a miracle that took place when they got to the other side, or getting them over to the other side. Notice in John 6, verse 21. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and then notice what it says. And immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Immediately. They had another 3.5 miles to go. But once Jesus Christ was in the ship, phew, they were there. Immediately. They were on the other side. And they had to be amazed how quickly, how easily they got to the other side. But again, it's just a declaration of the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Then, of course, in the fourth event, we see the diseased. And we read in verse 36, they were made whole. That is, they left there, they came. And they were lame, they were blind, they were deaf, they had all kinds of problems, but they left intact, they left complete. All because of him. Again, showing us the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. So we see we have needs. We see our insufficiency. We see the sufficiency of Christ. And that brings us to the fourth point in each of these events. Christ, who is sufficient, was accessible. In each one of these events, Jesus Christ was accessible. It is not of much benefit to you and I if there is a fountain of all sufficiency and we can't get to it. That doesn't help us much. But Jesus Christ is sufficient. But he's not only sufficient, he's accessible. That's mercy. That's grace. In the first event, after burying the body of John the Baptist, apostles with hearts that were breaking and filled with sorrow, we read there in verse 12 of Matthew 14, they went and told Jesus. And I don't believe that they just went and said, John the Baptist was in prison, John the Baptist was beheaded, and we buried him. They poured their hearts out. They went and told Jesus. But the thing we want to notice is they went to Jesus. They had to know where he was, and he had to be available. Jesus Christ is accessible. They went and told Jesus. That is my and your opportunity and privilege every moment of every day. To go and tell Jesus. We're even invited to do so. Every day he invites us to go and tell him. In the midst of all our need, in the midst of our insufficiency, He is able, He is sufficient, and He is reachable, and He is approachable. We see that all through these four events. In the second event, Christ and the apostles are together. Christ has given them the rest that they need. And Christ, when they declared their insufficiency, we have here but five fishes and two loaves. He said, bring them unto me. Bring them. Bring. That was an invite to approach Him. To approach Him with what they had. To approach Him with their insufficient means. You and I never have the sufficiency that we need. And Christ gives us means, but they're insufficient in and of themselves. But He tells us, bring them unto me. He's approachable. He's accessible. In the third event, in verse 25, as we saw this morning, Jesus went unto them. He went unto them in this case. And by the time you get down to verse 29, He is saying, come. Come. They're in the midst of a fierce storm. And in the midst of that storm, Jesus is approachable. Jesus is available. He says, come. That's always so. In our time of need, if we would just listen, we would hear the voice of Jesus saying, come. Come. And then we see Peter, of course, began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. Why did he cry, Lord, save me? He knew that Christ was there. He knew that Christ was reachable. And he knew that Christ was able. So he said, Lord, save me. And then we come to verse 32, and Christ comes into their ship. That also was a manifestation of His accessibility. Christ is approachable. We can approach Jesus Christ. And that's a miracle in itself. Because there isn't a one of us that is worthy to approach Jesus Christ. People who say, well, I'm just trying to get better so I feel more worthy. You'll never. On your best day, you will never be worthy. But it's mercy. It's grace. And Christ says, come. So, and then in the fourth event, they brought unto Him. They brought unto Him. That is, He was accessible. All that were diseased. And they besought Him. They pleaded with Him that He would heal these individuals. Again, Christ was accessible. Christ was reachable. Christ was approachable. So in closing, in all the varying events of our lives, here we see four main events. But in all the varying events of our lives, we need to have a proper understanding. We are a needy people. We need to have a proper understanding that of our own sufficiency. We need to understand, without me you can do nothing. We need to understand that. And then we need to understand that He is able. He is able. This is fundamental. It's a fundamental pillar for living. We are insufficient. He isn't. We are not able. He is. That is a fundamental pillar for living life. We must fully realize that not only is he able, but he can be reached. He can be approached. And it doesn't matter what the event is. It doesn't matter how great the need. He is able. He can be reached. He can be approached. In each event of Matthew 14, in every one of these events, there was a drawing near to Christ. The apostles, after they buried John the Baptist, they went and told Jesus. What did they do? They drew near to Christ. The feeding of the 5,000, same thing. Bring them hither to me. They drew near to Christ. Same thing in the storm. Same thing with the diseased. In all of these events, Christ met their needs. But in each one of these events, we see God's people drawing near to Christ. I want to say that if there's an event in our life that we don't draw near to Christ, it's like a wasted event. We need to draw near. And everything that happens in our life, whether we consider it good, bad, or otherwise, the goal is to draw near to Jesus Christ. Whatever event of our life, there ought to be this drawing near of Christ. And if this is done, it is then that we live in the reality and the joy of His sufficiency. Where is it that I experience, where is it that you experience His sufficiency, and His sufficiency becomes a reality? It's when we're close to Him, when we draw near to Him. People flee from the Lord and then they say, nothing good happens to me. I don't see any miracles. Draw near. Draw near. And live in the reality of the sufficiency of the Lord. There's no better life. There's not a happier life than to know Jesus has everything I need and more. And He gives me more than I need every day. And He is approachable. He is able. He is sufficient. We need to live our lives knowing the sufficiency of Christ. We are poor and needy, but He isn't. He isn't. Let us not live as if the Lord were broke. Let us not live as if Christ or the Lord were not in control. He is able. Whatever the need is, He is able. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us to verse 7.